Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
They're a bunch of jokers. They stink so bad you can't even make it up. Get rid of all of them.
Howard Simon.
Every single time Howard says, they've moved on. I drink. I am so drunk.
Jeremy White.
No, you did this to me.
Don't you put your finger on that computer.
This is what happens.
No, you
this
cannot.
This is legit.
I object.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
So we've got something exciting coming up. Andrew Catalan first. And a little bit later in the show, we're going to name, not babies, XFL teams. I woke up this morning wanting to give the XFL teams names.
Benny says, go the George Foreman route.
Name all the kids
Jeremy
after me.
Jeremy Jr., Jeremy the Third, Jeremy the Fourth, and Jeremina.
Okay. I actually once met a woman.
Name all the babies with the letter J?
I met a woman named Jeremy.
Jeremy?
Yes, her name was
with
Jeremy.
With an I at the end?
I don't know how she spelled it, but she was a TA in my psychology class in college.
Huh.
Yeah.
Never heard of a woman.
Me neither.
Wow. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. We are talking Bills football. If you're watching the preseason games on TV, you are hearing this man call the play-by-play alongside Steve Tasker, Andrew Catalan from CBS Sports, joining us right now on the Western Hotline. Andrew, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning, sir. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Hope you're doing well.
We are. We're doing well. Got a lot of things I want to ask you about, Andrew. Not just the Bills, because you do call NFL games for CBS, so you get a national perspective on things. But you've seen the first two games. Share what you see so far from Josh Allen would be the first question I bet Bills fans would want me to ask you.
Yeah, I've been really impressed on both sides of the football with Buffalo so far in these first two games. Specifically to Josh Allen, I love their game plan, how they threw the football a lot when he was in there the first two games. I think that makes a ton of sense. I think we kind of know what to expect from these Bills running backs for the most part, so why not use the preseason as a time to work on timing? And I love what Josh said about learning even the body language of these new receivers and tight ends. I thought that was also an interesting comment. And we saw how much he went to Cole Beasley on Friday night in Charlotte. I thought that was a great sign. I think that if John Brown is able to get back there, that they could work on some things this week in Detroit. And, you know, I think the big thing, too, is that Brian Daboll and Josh Allen are showing that now that he's in year two, there's so many more things they can do. I love how they mix up tempos now. They can use different speeds getting to the line and getting rid of the football, and he can call some more plays. So just seems like a massive difference from year one to year two for Josh.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple names. I think, Andrew, when we're trying to figure out what the Bills offense can do this year and if the passing game is going to be better, I think a lot of it centers around Beasley and Brown. And even though Brown didn't play last week, you know, he's had a good camp, and it looks like he'll be a good weapon in this offense. And Beasley has already seemingly put together some really good chemistry with Josh Allen. So what kind of an impact do you think just those two guys, Brown and Beasley, can have on Allen and the passing game in general this season?
I'm a big fan of John Brown. I did a number of Ravens games last year and saw him in Baltimore, and I think he's a tremendous weapon. He's going to change. He's going to change the way the defense has to attack a guy like Cole Beasley, or if you get the tight ends involved, and certainly, you know, the backs out of the backfield in the passing game. I mean, he can really do a lot of things. I'm a big John Brown supporter. And Beasley, I think we saw him. He's going to be that guy over the middle in the slot, third and six. You know, I know a lot of people say Julian Edelman, and I'm not going to necessarily go there, but at the same time, yeah, like that's the role. I think that Josh Allen kind of proved that a little bit Friday night in the way that they use Beasley in the passing game.
You know, with young guys, I was thinking one of the things when you guys call preseason games, you get to watch some of the young players and try and make a name for themselves, try and earn a spot on the roster. And perhaps after last Friday night, we've seen that with Tommy Sweeney. What have you seen from him? He had a big game Friday against the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, I've been really impressed with Sweeney, and I think that the coaching staff has kind of echoed that. I mean, even some of the things that they said after the game, you're like, well, he's not really a seventh-round pick the way that they're, you know, approaching him in the way that he plays the game and the way he practices. And, Yeah, that's what the NFL is kind of about. I mean, you know, he's getting an opportunity, probably more so than he would have, if not for all these injuries at tight end, and he's making the most of it. And, you know, I think that he showed a lot of comfort in learning the game plan, learning the playbook, and you can see that the quarterbacks have a lot of comfort in going to him, and they trust him. And, you know, he's certainly been a big part of their offense this summer and made the most of his opportunity.
Wanted to get your thoughts on the defense, which certainly wasn't the question mark that the offense was going into the preseason. It's looked good, but again, they've yet to face a starting quarterback, you know, against the Colts and the Carolina Panthers. Having said that, Andrew, as you look at the group and you look at the talent, throw in the addition of Ed Oliver up front, who now looks like he's going to be starting this season. What kind of expectations do you have for the Bills' defense this year?
Yes, sky high. And I think Sean McDermott early in camp said that the big thing about this defense is communication. With so many starters returning from last year, they're, you know, another year in the system, they're all on the same page. And I think that you've seen them play fast this summer, both in training camp, practices, and in these two games, even though, as you said, you don't put too much stock into it because of, you know, what the opponents do, and it's very vanilla offensively. But, you know, I think to me the guy that stands out, and it's hard to miss him in the middle there, is Tremaine Edmonds. I mean, he just seems like a different player in person now in his second year. The way that he calls the defense, the way that his teammates look at him, I think, too. I mean, he's definitely taken some of that leadership now more on his wing. And I remember Lorenzo Alexander made a comment early in camp, like, or maybe it was Sean McDermott talking about Lorenzo Alexander, about how Lorenzo, he kind of allowed the space for Tremaine Edmonds to take some more leadership on, which is a really nuanced thing for a veteran like Alexander, but it also says a lot about Edmonds to recognize that, step up, and take on that leadership role. So I think Tremaine Edmonds is set up for a monster season.
I wanted to get Andrew Catalan with us from CBS Sports, and he handles play-by-play on the Bills preseason games as well on the TV side. Before we go to the league, this kind of does take us to the league, Andrew. The Bills and where they might fit in the AFC wildcard race. What are your expectations from Buffalo's standpoint? And if they get into the race this year, where do they fit, do you think, in the AFC?
Yeah, I would say that I definitely expect them to play meaningful games in December and to be competing for a playoff spot. I think that the thing that goes against them is that the AFC is really good this year. I think that you can make a case for a number of teams to get in the playoffs from the AFC. So they're going to have some competition starting within their own division, because I think the Jets are a lot better. You know, they lost Avery Williamson, their middle linebacker, in a preseason game the other night. I think it's a big loss for them. But I still think with the weapons they have, the Jets and Bills, to me, are going to be right down to the wire competing for maybe the final playoff spot, assuming that the Patriots have the division again. And I think that's an assumption as well. I mean, I never, you know, it's hard to count out New England with what they've done. But, you know, I could definitely see them taking a step back and maybe Buffalo or the Jets taking a step forward. So I love the way Buffalo is set up. I think Brandon Bean has done a tremendous job. Sean McDermott is proving to be a very good coach. This is the season that I think they're going to really take another step forward, and I think it's going to be right there on the border of getting in the playoffs.
You mentioned assumption. I think when it comes to the Patriots in the division, I'd say way of life for going on 20 years now. Let's just, for assumption's sake, say that they are the best team in the AFC. Who is the next best team, or who are the next best teams in this conference, in your opinion?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Chargers. You know, obviously the Melvin Gordon situation is a little concerning. I think they need him. I know that their running backs are playing well without him, but I think they need Melvin Gordon in that offense. I'm also a big fan of the Colts. You know, obviously Andrew Luck's situation is concerning if you were to pick the Colts to go deep, but I saw them a bunch last year. Obviously, we saw them week one of the preseason with Buffalo, but you can't really read too much into that. But their offensive line is so good. I think they drafted wisely again. I think Frank Reich is an excellent head coach. He has such a great grasp of what they need to do offensively. He has shown me a lot in his time as the Colts head coach, which hasn't been a long time, as we know. So, you know, I think the Chargers and the Colts are going to be two teams in the AFC that are going to have really good runs. And then I think the rest of it, you could make a case for a handful. I mean, obviously the Chiefs in that mix as well, but I think the rest, you know, you could make a case for Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, mm-hmm. Buffalo, New York. You know, I think the AFC is going to be very competitive this year.
One final thing for you, and has nothing to do with Well, I guess it does how the game's going to be played out. I think one of the big stories we talk about seemingly every day, Andrew, is the PI challenge and how this is all going to play out. What are your thoughts on the reaction to the Rams-Saints game and instituting the rule and whether or not it's going to be a big problem, or perhaps teams will just kind of, it'll just kind of fade away like the, what, roughing the passer was up last year, the first month, the lower the helmet rule in the preseason, and neither one of those became a big issue as the season went on.
I think it's a massive issue right now. I think that we just don't really know what to expect. And that's why if I was a head coach in the preseason, I would use all of my challenges, the remaining two games, just on pass interference, just to get some type of basis as to how Al Riveron is going to call this once week one hits. Because I think it's so gray right now and really don't know. We have no sample size. We don't know what to expect. So to me, it doesn't make sense for a coach in the preseason to challenge if a runner is inbounds or out of bounds. Just use them on pass interference calls so that we can, or the coaches can get a feeling as to how it's going to play out. But I think until we have a bigger sample size, it's going to be a big thing. We really have no idea how they're going to call it. I mean, we know what the language says, significantly hinders, and obviously conclusive evidence. But really, what, you know, I don't know. I can't sit there and say, oh yeah, I remember, well, these calls, this is, there's no basis, there's no playbook for it yet, and we need to learn a lot more about it.
That's one of the big problems. Like you just said, throw the challenge flags and see how Riveron and New York are going to call this. Who the heck knows? Like, I know, like, they can come out and say the standard is clear and obvious, but that is the problem with pass interference, maybe more than any other penalty in the game. It, not very often is it clear and obvious whether it's a call or a missed call. And that's, how do you even predict how they're going to do that?
Yeah, so Al Riveron came to our CBS NFL meetings in New York City last week and gave us a whole presentation to all the announcers as to, you know, he put a bunch of plays up there, and they weren't the NFC Championship type plays. They were the gray line. They were the fine line plays, and I appreciated him doing that because he could have just went up there and shown guys getting tackled and then saying, "Well, that's pass interference." So he put the really tough ones up there, and our room, you know, was very divided as to who thought it was pass interference and who thought it wasn't. And I think these are the tough calls that we don't know how they're going to be officiated, and we need to find out, especially if I'm a head coach. I want to know, because, look, you're not getting an extra challenge. It's not like you have extra challenges now. You still have to decide, are you going to use this, you know, pass interference challenge as a weapon and try to hold on to it late in the game? Or do you think that you got a touchdown on third and goal in the first quarter and use it there? So I think that there's so much that goes into it for these head coaches. It's certainly another layer that they have to prepare for, and they need to know, you know, what they have and what Al Riveron's going to do before they can decide how they want to use it.
Hey, final thing, because I'm curious now, since you mentioned the meeting you guys had with Riveron, was there anything else in terms of rules or anything that was discussed in that meeting that you think, hey, football fans, keep an eye out for this?
Well, I think the elimination of the blindside block is going to be something that people are going to – it's going to be a little tricky. It's almost as if they want players to set a basketball screen, like try to take a charge almost, instead of knocking a guy over. And we saw some examples, and while they don't look too bad, they are now considered blindside blocks. And I think that'll be a bit of an adjustment for the players. I don't think it's something that will, you know, linger throughout the year, but I think the first time, if you're a fan watching and a blindside block is called, you're going to say, well, what is he supposed to do? He's coming, you know, against the grain here, and how's he supposed to block him? So I think that could lead to a couple of fans wondering what's going on, but I think the big one for sure is pass interference, without a doubt.
So listen, Jeremy, my co-host, is a Syracuse grad. Are you donning the orange today because you're preseason ranked?
Pretty sure Jeremy and I were the same year, actually.
Yes, we were.
2001 grads.
Yes, we were.
So, okay,
that's
so right. I don't remember
if we had any classes together, though, Andrew. I know we had a lot of mutual friends. I don't know. Were you in Dave Pasch's class, sports radio class?
No.
Did
we go to class? Is that that's
when Howard asked me about, like, would Andrew know you? I'm like, well, I don't know. If they were early classes, I didn't make a lot of them.
No, you guys are giving broadcasters a bad name. We had to go to every class.
You know.
It's very complicated subjects, yeah. So listen, so you walk around telling people, you know, when they bring up famous Syracuse grads, you mentioned Jeremy, right? You get his name out there?
Yeah, it's usually Marv, Iron Eagle, Costas, Jeremy.
Yes. Right. Okay, that's fair enough. I think the other guys they kind of earned it. All right.
And that's in no particular order. That's just, just the top four.
Andrew, thanks for coming on the show. We've enjoyed watching you during the preseason, and have a great year. Enjoy the games this season.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. We'll talk to you down the road.
Andrew Catalan from CBS Sports joining us on the Western Hotline. He and Steve Tasker bringing you the telecast of the preseason games.
I think Andrew. I'd imagine Andrew's on the wall. There is a wall with all the names.
I didn't want to bring it up.
With all the names that Andrew mentioned, and mine is on there. And I would venture that Andrew's is definitely on there too.
I would think he is
on the name wall.
So it cost you what? $50, $100?
$0.
$250.
$0.
You didn't bribe anybody?
Nope.
Did you complain?
No. I think I just had to answer an email.
Oh, so that's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like sending four box.
Working in the industry?
Yeah.
Yes.
Then we'll put you on the wall.
On the name wall.
Doesn't matter what market size, doesn't matter how long. That's fantastic. Speaking of names.
Speaking of names.
You ready to go? Do you have your list ready?
Of names from my children or for the XFL teams?
Could they be the same?
Boy, can I get a name?
Could you name a team and your child the same name? Extreme? Like extreme white? Would that be?
Well, I've got,
no, wouldn't fit?
I've got, this is, again, we're trying to predict what the XFL teams will be named. Not, here's what I would name them, but let's predict them. There's Dallas, Houston, New York, L.A., Seattle, St. Louis, Washington, D.C., and Tampa.
Okay.
If anyone else wants to text in, what will the XFL name its teams?
I've got.
I mentioned one. I'll give my
I've
first
got
one out of
three
the
three that I feel good about.
The Tampa Bay Raid.
I'm guessing
they will name. There's gonna be a team name that's gonna be singular. It's gonna be a group. It's gonna be about a siege. Ooh, the Seattle Siege. I'm adding another one.
That's
the Siege.
Good. Yeah.
Like a storm, or like a storm surge. Whatever. A siege.
No, a siege, like a battle.
Yes.
Like
the Seattle Siege. The Tampa
Bay
Raid. The Siege
of Syracuse, whatever.
I can't wait to give you my St. Louis one. Anyway, go ahead.
I don't have St. Louis.
I like the Seattle Grunge.
Grunge?
Yeah.
Boy, there's three cities I didn't have. Seattle, St. Louis, and Washington I'm struggling with. For Tampa, I went with Storm. You know, the lightning.
Tampa Bay Storm.
The Storm. The storms are Tampa's famous for daily thunderstorms.
Isn't there a WNBA team named Storm?
Tampa Bay Storm is an Arena Football League.
Oh,
forget it.
Team.
Then. Okay, I got
a former
new nickname.
Arena Football League.
Yeah, but
team.
They probably can't use that then, right? I assume.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know.
All right, I got New York.
Yeah.
Empire.
Okay.
Empire Strikes Back. Darth Vader. Kind of some nasty connotations to it. Empire State.
I went with the New York Alley Muggers.
Trying to think, because again, the XFL, the names have to be extreme. They have to be, a lot of the. So
okay, I like my Dallas name then.
Okay,
I was looking for some alliteration. I started with names that would be in the violent XFL.
Desperados?
Genre.
Are you going Desperados?
No, but I have a D. I went with Demolition. The Dallas Demolition. You know, and the logo is cars banging into each other. No?
I have the Dallas Lawmen.
That's a good one.
This league is going to be
on. Texas Rangers.
This league's got a brand, Lawmen.
Lawmen. Well, it's the Texas Rangers.
They
still exist. The Rangers,
Dallas Lawmen.
Not the baseball team. I mean the actual Texas Rangers.
St. Louis. Guessing XFL team names. Ready for this one?
Yeah.
I'm really proud of this one. The Archers.
Yeah, I was trying to think of the arch, but I couldn't think of something violent with it.
The Archers?
Yeah, no, that is violent. Yeah,
it's pretty good.
So that'll work.
Is it someone shooting the arrow,
yeah,
or is it the guy with the arrow coming out of his chest?
You tap into how hot Game of Thrones is and was,
yeah,
and the St. Louis Arch, and you're the Archers.
I mean,
bam.
Orlando had the Apollos, and that was kind of their logo, was an archer.
They score a touchdown, they take a football, put it in a bow, and shoot it into the stands.
Do they spell Archers with a Z?
Yes. Mm. Yes. Thank you. Sorry. Brayton has perfected it. That's right. The LA, guessing XFL team names.
I was looking for a nickname, and then I tried to figure out how to match it with the city. This is somewhat with Brayton doing the New York Alley Muggers. I went with the LA Rampage. I don't know why. LA Rampage.
I'm going with Rampage. Supernovas.
Ooh, that's hot.
Yeah.
That is hot.
The Supernovas.
I don't know why I just thought about Black Hole, but that's probably a bad thing. What else did I have?
How about the Houston Heat?
I had the Houston Fire. Is that bad? Like fire, it's hot in Houston.
Can't do fire. The Chicago Fire is a MLS team.
How about Houston Renegades?
I was thinking about Roughnecks. That's not a CFL thing. That's Rough Riders, right? Roughnecks?
I don't know. There's probably somebody.
Roughnecks is lacrosse.
Is Lumberjacks with two X's taken? Because probably.
Hold on.
How about Assault? How about a team named the Assault? That's violent enough.
The LA Riot? Yeah, Justin tweeted that.
The
in.
LA Riot?
I'm not even kidding. That's the kind of, if you're XFL.
Oh my, the LA Riot. Can't imagine the giveaways.
The DC Revolution is taken to the one texter.
DC Stealth.
Eagles and Patriots. Yeah, it's definitely going to be.
I still like Impalers. I just can't figure out the city to match with
DC
it.
DC Lockdown. The
Rampage? Did we use? Oh, I use Rampage.
Give Rumble. DC the Rumble? Military theme.
How about Rumble? Rumbles? DC Military
Rumble.
Theme.
Ooh, Rumble? The Rumble.
The Rumble?
Yeah, just the Rumble.
Just
when in
the
doubt,
Rumble?
If you're a new sports team trying to get attitude, you take the
pluralization. The Washington Rumble.
You get rid of the pluralization.
Okay. Or DC, I guess. I didn't think of DC. I went with Washington.
The St. Louis O'Reillys.
That's violent.
LA Smog. What if they were, like, you know how the Red Bulls were sponsored by Red Bull? You could just, somebody text in about LA Cannabis. Just have a weed company sponsor it.
I was trying to think
that's
of
how
actually,
to be counterculture to the NFL is have a team just named after weed.
The LA Weed? I was trying to think of wrestling names. Like, if there are any kind of famous tag Ooh. Team names or something with wrestling they could work in.
The St. Louis Lunatics.
That's a good one.
Shout out to Nelly in the process.
Seattle Wild Samoans. Probably just...
Wild Samoans.
Wrestling. Wasn't there a tag team? I'm trying to think of wrestling stuff that they can cross over and use a wrestling tag team
You
name.
Say Samoan, I think of a Girl Scout cookie. The Samoans.
Really?
Samoas, yeah.
Wasn't there a wrestling tag team named the Wild Samoans?
Possibly.
There's a Samoa Joe.
Texter writes in the Houston Problems. Houston, we have a problem.
Oh, very good. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
These names... On the whole, if you're going to, they're coming out tomorrow, XFL team names. Will they be good or terrible?
I think they'll be good. XFL, give them credit. You know, the WWE, they're pretty creative. I expect some really interesting games.
The Shield.
Oh, well, yeah.
You
Although
like the
they
Shield.
Broke up, they're no longer in existence, but sure, why not?
The Tampa Bay Doubloons.
What if they all Pirate did team? Wrestling yep. finishing moves? The LA RKOs. The St. Louis Stunners. Yeah. The Dallas DDTs.
Yeah, right. The figure four leg locks? No, that doesn't work. That's too long.
The
RKOs.
The Tampa Bay Camel Clutch.
And what is it? Oh, the what's the Samoa Joe?
It'd be the DC DDTs.
Where's Mazurowski? Coquina Clutch? Whatever the Samoa Joe move is. I think it's Coquina Clutch.
Oh, man. The Seattle Tombstones.
Oh, that's a good one.
The Last Ride.
I guess it's 1963.
The New
statue.
York People's Elbow.
Steve says the Dallas Assassinators. Hey, you know, it's 63. That's long enough, I guess, you can bring
the
that
Tampa
up.
The Tampa Choke Slam. I like this now. They will not do better than naming them after actual wrestling finishing moves.
Let's see. There's the Disarmer from Becky Lynch. Now I got to go through all the wrestling moves in my head. Superman Punch.
All right.
The LA Anarchy.
There you go. Yeah, the DC Anarchy.
Actually, hasn't Anarchy's... I feel like there's been a team with the name Anarchy.
It would be a weird name for a team because the definition of anarchy is disorganization.
Team.
You know?
So you want to be the team that everybody thinks is dysfunctional.
Right. I'm telling you, it's anarchy with the anarchy.
I feel... Right? Does anybody remember a team named Anarchy?
No.
Team name.
It'd be like naming a team the anarchy. Solo artists.
I feel like there's got to be a team name. No, maybe not.
Okay. By the way, Lumberjacks was already taken. Not two X's, but one X.
One X? Get the two X's on that thing. Okay. You got to make this thing extreme or not?
Sure.
Yeah, I guess no teams. There were Sons of Anarchy, but no teams named Anarchy.
One X is not extreme enough.
All right. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550 here on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the
windup, the 3-1 pitch. His hit toward center field coming on is Davis. In a dive, he
what a grab!
He makes a snow cone catch in center field.
What a play by Davis coming straight toward home plate. Dives like Superman. He does his best Kevin Pillar imitation to haul it in. What a play.
Love Kevin Pillar getting the shout out there. I love Kevin Pillar as a center fielder. He's so fun to watch.
Hey, we're going to bring in Pat Malacaro. There was a no-hitter last night that the Bisons had. First time since Bartolo Colon in 1997. Pat was on the call. He's joining us right now. Pat, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hi, guys. It was a fun night at the ballpark last night. I mean, yeah, no-hitter, great plays, some offense. The game had everything, and it was a lot of fun.
I was going to say, that's pretty cool to call a no-hitter. That's seeing one in person is pretty cool, but to call one too, I take it that was the first one you've called.
Yeah, I had never been in the ballpark for one period, and wow, it's something I've hoped to look forward to seeing. I've gotten close a couple of times, but and you kind of feel the pressure a little bit once you get to the seventh, eighth inning. Not the pressure that TJ Zoik feels, but because you want to get out of the way and stay out of his way and not mess up the call. So it was fun, and it was nerve-wracking at the same time.
Now, how much – it's funny. I'm trying to think how Duke would handle this. Like, Duke, I could see if there was one guy who did the whole let's not talk about it. I could see Duke being an old-school baseball guy to do that. Did you guys talk about it? Did you not? Did you keep reinforcing it every time the Rochester was up at bat? What'd you do?
We didn't talk about it at all. We both knew what was going on. I tweeted at one point, I think, once TJ got through seven or into the seventh, that there were zeros across, and I made references to it. It wasn't until there was one out in the ninth. That was the closest Buffalo had gotten since 04, and both of us finally said no hitter in some capacity.
Huh, so really?
We mentioned it. We brought it up, but we didn't actually say the words no hitter.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, just trying to keep people aware of what's going on because that's the job, but also, you know, not try to be the guy that blows it for them.
I'm trying to think of ways to get around it. If it was a perfect game, you could always say they have yet to put a runner on base. No, you know, whatever. But it's kind of hard unless, you know, like if the Mets got, you know, if the Mets had a no hitter going, I might text my brothers and say so and so's pitching in all caps really well. Like, I could actually not say no hitter. You know, I don't know if you did that last night. Hey, Zoik is pitching really well.
I find the way to do it is after the first batter, just say he's got a no hitter.
Get it out of the way.
And then it's not your fault.
Yeah.
Hey, this comes, by the way, in a fantastic race. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that and also about Nate Pearson, too, since I guess he's going to pitch tonight. But this no-hitter comes in a great race, Pat. What are the Bison's chances in terms of this mix in the division right now going into the final couple weeks?
Well, there's 14 games left, and the Bison's are just two back of Scranton Wilkes-Barre now, and they'll actually play in Scranton the final four games of the year. So the Bison's just hope to give themselves a chance in that final weekend. You guys have all seen, we've seen how decimated the Yankees have been in New York, and guys like Gio Urshela have been called up to fill in, and somehow Scranton survived the whole year up until about now. They faltered, and a team like Buffalo, even Syracuse and Rochester, all four of those teams are in the mix, and it's a chance for Buffalo now here, three more in Rochester, four more next week against the Red Wings in Buffalo, to really, somebody can separate themselves and try and make that last push to knock off Scranton, who's led the division pretty much wire to wire this year.
So who is Nate Pearson?
He is a hard-throwing, tall right-hander who was drafted just 2 years ago. Unfortunately, last year, he was hit by a comeback line drive in his first start of the year with Dunedin and fractured his forearm. So he lost the entire 2018 season, probably somebody who would have been to Double-A by the end of the year, and worked his way back this year. Something that the coaching staff and the training staff did this year was they staggered the amount of innings for Pearson, who's still just 22 years old. He would, when he first started, he would go two innings. The next starter would go five, and he'd alternate two and five. He'd start every 5 days, but it would only be seven innings over those five-day stretches. But he's been fully stretched out into a starting capacity, can throw 97 consistently when he wants to. He can hit 102 on the radar gun, and he, at 22 years old, has a really good command of all his pitches. So he's somebody fun to watch, a top 15 prospect in all of minor league baseball right now. He's got the big label tag on him, and he's lived up to it so far.
So he's going to pitch tonight? Is that the schedule at this point?
That's the expectation. There's a hole in the Bison's rotation, and he's been on the New Hampshire roster for the last couple of months, and the official call-up hasn't happened yet, but the expectation is he will start tonight here in Rochester.
And then he could start at home on Sunday if he's still here. So if you want to go see him, you could see him on Sunday. Is it possible he gets any time with Toronto this year or after the Bison season is done?
I don't think so, only because of the innings limit.
And just
keep him within that range for this year because he only threw an inning and two-thirds last year.
Okay. Hey, before we let you go, how much have you guys and the players, is it a daily conversation about how Vlad Jr. and Bo Bichette are doing up in Toronto?
Oh, it's been awesome. The guys have been following along, and even on their big league debuts, we were lucky enough to be in delays, that I think, for both of them, and guys got a chance to watch their first couple at-bats, and yeah, everybody keeps track, and they were big pieces that were lost, but everybody was happy, and especially with the call-up when Bo was pulled out of the game in Durham, when the entire bullpen rushed down from left field to the dugout. You knew how special everybody was treating that moment and how much he was liked in the clubhouse.
That's cool for you. I know you were so excited when you got the job and Ben got the call-up to Toronto. You know, and I would think, you know, in your position at AAA, you would eventually get used to calling games of guys, prospects that are going to be in the majors and have successful careers. But still, I think, Pat, it's got to be pretty neat to say, you know, you watch Vlad Jr., whether it's at the Home Run Derby or any Jays game, and Bo Bichette goes up and has, what, a hit in his first 11 games, and to be able to watch those guys knowing that you were calling their games here in Buffalo. That's awesome.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny. People ask me all the time, who's my favorite team? And I always say, I root for players because you're with them all the time. You get to see them day in and day out and the work they put in and to see these guys succeeding. And a lot of guys throughout that have been with the Bisons before. It's always fun to watch them and to follow their careers.
Well, thanks for coming on, and have fun down the stretch of the season here, and tell Duke I said hi.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Pat Malacaro, voice of the Bisons, with us on our Western Hotline. They are in action in Rochester tonight. Again, Nate Pearson is scheduled to pitch tonight. If you want to take the one-hour trip east on the thruway to... It used to be Frontier Field. I don't know if it still is. And if not, he would be scheduled to pitch at home on Sunday. The Bisons have their final home weekend of the season starting Friday at Salem Field. And you get tickets for any Bisons game, of course, at Bisons.com. Extendo Sports coming up in a moment. Instigators coming up top of the hour. Hey, don't forget to vote in our overhead door contest. Thanks to Hamburg Overhead Door. We're giving away some doors to some folks who have really ugly garage doors. We got the finalists in. We've got pictures available. And now we need you to cast your vote by August 18th. You can go to WGR550.com and do that. You could also text DOOR to 550-550. We will send you a link to your phone where you can vote. Message and data rates may apply. Keep in mind, when you vote, you are entered automatically for a chance to win a LiftMaster garage door opener. So vote at WGR550.com or text DOOR, D-O-O-R, to 550-550.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Bills news. They've signed an offensive lineman.
His name is Magnus, which means that's a win. Always sign offensive lineman with the
Magnus?
Name Magnus. Yeah, it's analytics.
What's the significance of Magnus?
I mean, as a name?
You like Magnus?
It's a strong name. Magnus Vermagnussen.
Scottish?
It means Magnus great Scottish? In Latin.
Does it? What is Magnus? I feel like that would be Scottish.
There were kings named Magnus of Norway, Magnus of Sweden. It meant great. So, like, you know.
Wow. So this guy's going to be a starter.
Jumps right to the top of Jeremy's list of baby names.
Yeah. Magnus White.
There was
a nice ring to it.
Magnus, here you go. People with the given name Magnus. Who's the biggest sports Magnus? It's definitely Magnus Vermagnuson, the Icelandic four-time world's strongest man.
That's really a person. You're not making this up. Magnus Vermagnuson.
People know Magnus Vermagnuson.
That's a great name.
I mean,
I would have said you were making it up, but it's a great name.
You get born with that name, you're going to be the strongest man.
You should be the strongest man, I suppose, yeah. Mm-hmm. Power ranking, don't power rank Magnuses. I don't know any Magnuses.
Magnuses in film. Let's see. Anybody jump out here? There's Ultra Magnus in the Transformers universe. It's the real name of Doctor Who. No, the character the Master.
Magnus, there's, boy.
He's the official mascot of the Cleveland State Vikings.
Magnus the Viking?
Yeah.
Oh, so maybe Magnus is more Vikingish. I thought it was Scottish. Eric Magnuson is an offensive lineman, by the way. Garrett McGinn goes on IR. They signed Eric Magnuson, played his college ball at Michigan, and spent the first 2 years of his NFL career with the San Francisco 49ers. So he is now a member of the Buffalo Bills. I had a quick hockey thing to bring up. The CBA is going to be up, and they're already having some negotiations. I saw a blurb about the World Cup of Hockey, which was really good in 2016. You know, they had Team North America, and we talked a lot about Ralph Kruger because he coached Team Europe, and they went anyway. So they're talking about a World Cup maybe as soon as 2021, but they would be changing it. Instead of having it before the season, they would have it during the season. Shorter tournament, fewer teams, in season, a mini tournament about a week long. And one of the things that they're kicking around, I saw an article at Sportsnet, you would have fewer countries involved because it's a shorter tournament, and there would be no Team North America. It's a terrible idea. Yeah, I liked it before the season.
That was the best part of it.
Can I read you again? Just to remind you, Team North America at the 2016 World Cup, these guys were part of Team North America. Connor McDavid,
bust,
Austin Matthews,
bust,
Nathan MacKinnon,
bust,
Jack Eichel.
Doesn't live up to the hype.
Johnny Gaudreau.
Overrated. Doesn't perform in the playoffs.
Morgan Riley.
Nobody.
Mark Scheifele.
Loser.
Jacob Trouba.
Total bust.
Seth Jones.
And doesn't love the game.
Those were on the 23 and under Team North America.
No wonder they didn't win it.
I mean, come on. That was such a fun team to watch. So anyway, look. You had a good thing going. Don't screw with the World Cup. You don't need to put it in season. You don't need to shrink the field. Don't force it into 1 week with two games and you're in the semifinals already. Have it before the season. Let it have its publicity. You have all these countries play. You have Team North America. I don't know if you're going to get that squad under 23 again, but do it the last time it worked just fine. Don't screw with it. Don't put it in season and shrink the tournament. It was a really... Next to watching the Olympics, the hockey teams in the Olympics, which I thoroughly enjoy. I love the World Cup before the season. So anyway, we'll see how that plays out in the next CBA.
Let's get a couple of trades. You know,
I could use a hockey trade. Yeah, I would like the league to actually start doing some things beyond sitting and waiting for Group 2 free agents to sign. I wonder what they would do if the league wouldn't want to change anything, right? Would the players' union bring this up in the CBA discussions to try and do something to alter the RFA situation so you don't have this?
Well, I mean, the players will push for shorter
but
contracts.
But the owners are going to, you know.
One way to do it is you don't have our UFA rights for 7 years. Let's cut that down to 4 years,
yeah.
Right? The NFL has four with a team option for a fifth. In the NHL, you're an RFA for after 7 years of
duty or whatever. You would get to, but also it's so, henceforth the term restricted free agents, I understand that. I was going to say it's so restrictive. Group two guys don't move. They don't get offer sheets. And it just seems like, you know, it just seems like it's kind of silly that we're sitting here with, what, at least nine Group 2 free agents still unsigned, no offer sheets, no trades, no nothing, and we're waiting to see when are they actually going to sign, are all these guys going to be around for the start of the regular season? And you don't move in Group 2. Like, I just wonder if the union would try and come up with some alternate ideas to maybe keep the system from gumming up like this, make it a little bit more exciting. Anyway, that's down the road, too. What else? You got anything else you didn't get to today?
Not really. Let's see. I gave you my stat of the day. My Mike Vrabel stat was good, right? That only Delanie Walker has more touchdown catches than the Titans head coach on the Titans roster.
I had a stat of the day I never got to. Can I throw a stat of the day in?
Oh, and I've got another one too. Okay, yes.
Stat of the day about DeAndre Hopkins. I actually read this last week and I kind of hung on to it because I thought it was really interesting and I just never forgot. I never remembered to put it in. DeAndre Hopkins. Last year, this was in, I believe this is in one of maybe Peter King's football morning columns. Last year, DeAndre Hopkins
2 minute warning.
Became the first receiver since drop stats were kept, which is at least 13 years, to catch at least 110 balls and not have a single drop. So there you go. Drop stats only go back 13 years. First time anybody had 110 catches and zero drops. DeAndre Hopkins. I was pretty impressed with that stat.
He's good.
This just in.
Another stat for you. This one came from Ian Hartitz, president of the Cordarrelle Patterson fan club, according to his
Where is he
his
these
Twitter.
Days? He's not. He was in New England, right?
Ian Hartitz of the Action Network, actually. Chase Daniel Patterson. Is still in the NFL. We did this the other day.
Not with the Eagles. He used to be, right, in Philly?
He is with the Bears.
Bears, okay.
We did this the other day. We did it with Josh McCown. So here it is with Chase Daniel.
Chase Daniel.
How much money has Chase Daniel made in his career?
He just made like seven a year in Philly, didn't he? His last contract was like $7 million a year?
Yep.
Okay, so where was he drafted? $7 million, $40
million. $28 million since 2010. And how many touchdown passes?
Zero.
Four.
Okay, that's four more than I thought.
Four touchdown passes in the regular season, $28 million in his career.
That's $7 million a touchdown pass.
I mean, if you can be a backup quarterback,
that is a good payday.
Also, the Carolina Hurricanes have just released new jerseys. In the last 30 seconds of the show, I will watch the reveal live and give you my reaction to the jersey. Brayton has already given it a meh.
Primary? New primary?
These new
are primary
road jerseys.
Oh, road jerseys.
These
okay.
are road jerseys. Of course, it's got to be shrouded in a really poorly lit room. I'd like to just see the jersey. Half of a jersey reveal is being like, hey, look, you can almost see this jersey. Can I just see it already? It's white and red.
They're flash framing me.
I'm seeing skating. I'm still not seeing an actual jersey. All right, there's red lights. I'm fast forwarding.
It says Canes on the front, white jersey, red, black stripes.
They got a three-dimensional logo on the helmet, which is actually pretty cool.
Okay, that I can't. Oh, there it is. Okay.
It says Canes down the thing.
Yeah. It says Canes.
Yeah, it's not good.
On a slant.
Yeah, no dice. Not any good. And, oh, that's terrible. Ugh.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.